This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1. Let's go!
And welcome to episode 242 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 8th of June, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Your hosts today are Brad, Andrew, Jody, Steve, and Jacob, with special guests today, Jennifer and Frank Ruggiero from Get Nerdy With It. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Hey, I'm
Brad.
Good. I'm great. How are you?
And welcome to Tech Webcast.
Yes, and welcome to you too. Andrew, welcome as well.
Hey, Brad. Hey, Jody. How are we all?
We're well.
That's good, guys.
Jacob, what's up?
I'm doing good today.
Okay, and we've got Steve on. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up? Who are our special guests? Going to be Arnold, but that's maybe another day.
Maybe we can have Arnold on as well.
Maybe we're near the end of the show, maybe. Jennifer, how are you? Welcome.
Hey, thanks. I'm happy to be here. And I'm well. How about you?
Very well, thanks. And Frank, welcome to the show as well.
Well, thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. And, happy to be here.
Good to have you on, and we're talking about your new podcast very soon.
Excellent.
And Andrew, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, Brad. Been pretty busy, just, you know, work stuff, and early starts, late nights. It's been quite cold in Melbourne this past week. It's going to get a bit colder, but it's been all right, been okay. Went out this morning and did a park session with a few mates at the local park, bit of a, you know, run around gym, and had some brunch after that. So, yeah, it's been a good week.
And you've nearly lost your voice from last night.
Nearly lost my voice. I watched my footy team 30 points down, end up winning by 5 points in the dying minutes of a game. And I'm one of those crazy people in the standing area behind the goals that sings songs and chants at the footy. So a lot of fun.
Do you drink then?
I tend not to. I actually usually have a few drinks with dinner. We'll go somewhere local before the game. And then quite often we'll go for a few drinks afterwards. Because I only have like light beer, sort of really bad light beer, and it's like $10 a cup, so it just doesn't make sense to drink at the ground. Wow. I mean, I do sometimes, but it's not normal.
All right, let's keep talking while you're here. We checked out Foxtel Go app. Tell them, what is it?
Yeah, we did, Brad, this week, both of us. Effectively, Foxtel is, for our American viewers, is Australia's largest and I think only really cable television network. Mm. So basically all of your live sports, your shows and things like that come through on Foxtel. Foxtel Go is an app that works on your iPhone and your iPad at the moment, where you can watch live sports, live shows straight from the app on your handset or iPad. And Brad and I have been using that this week, getting comfortable with it, and it's been a whole lot of fun. And one of the good things is obviously you can watch the live shows as they're happening, but you've also got your catch-ups as well. So any show that you like, you can click on it and view the last 3 or 4 episodes, usually in the, you know, comfort of your own time. It's, I don't know what your thoughts are, Brad, but to be honest with you, I'm actually quite impressed with it.
It's, oh yeah, I agree. I love it. You do need a Foxtel account and a and that sort of thing. And thanks to your mum Bev, that she got it set up for us. And it's been.
Yeah, exactly. And look, it does crash. I've noticed it has crashed a few times, particularly using the menus. It hasn't crashed in show, so once you're actually watching the show, it's fine. But a few times for me, it's crashed during the menus. But it's quite an extensive app, so for a first version out of the blocks, I think it's a really, really good effort that they've put together, and I'm confident that those few little things they'll work out and clean up.
Definitely, because that's been out since February, hasn't it? It's not new.
What's that? Sorry, the Foxtel Go. I don't think it's been out that long. I could be wrong, but yeah, so far it's really good. I'm enjoying it.
Yes, Sam, I agree. I love it. Thanks.
I have a question about it, you guys. Is it only available on your devices, such as your iPad or your handset, or is it available on, let's say, the Xbox or the Roku or other devices? As web apps,
You can get it on the Xbox. That's a different name. I think it's just mainly for mobile devices for the iPhone.
Yeah, and it's a different package too. So Foxtel actually have a version of their product for Xbox, which is a different package. So you can actually sign up for that, which is cheaper than the normal set-top box plan, whereas Foxtel Go can only come if you have a set-top box plan. So it's basically a fries with that. Unfortunately, you can't buy it straight out just for your device, which would be fantastic if you could. And they've also got a block on it too, so that if you actually had it for your iPad, you can't use the HDMI connector that runs from an iPad to a main TV or to do an air switch or anything like that. So they've actually blocked that so that people can't lend out their Foxtel Go and then beam it through their 42 or 62 inch TV or whatever they're using, which is annoying but clever.
It is very smart. But there's Foxtel Play is coming out this month. That's going to be replaced with the Foxtel and Xbox.
It's just quite expensive. I mean, for the full package in Australia for cable, it's about $130 a month. Yeah. And for standard sort of package, it's about $80 a month. I don't know how that compares to US, but it seems expensive to me. What do you guys, what's it cost in the US for cable?
Go ahead, Jennifer.
I'm going to actually defer the question over to Frank and Jody and Jacob, because I cut the cord. So
Go ahead, Frank. What does it cost you, man?
Somewhere between an arm and a leg. It just really depends on who you talk to. If you call up the cable provider several times, you get two different quotes. You just got to talk to the right person. I currently pay $97 a month.
Oh, that's all right.
After finagling.
So it's pretty similar sort of pricing then, really. Mm.
Yeah. What about you, Steve?
Mine's about $130, but that's also with internet, and I upped the bandwidth too for broadcasting and other stuff.
Okay, interesting. What about you, Jacob? What's your view on all this, and how much does it cost you?
It used to cost me over $250.
What?
Wow!
Wow!
But are there multiple?
Because we have all the movie channels.
Geez, you must watch a lot of TV, mate. What about you, Jody? How much does it cost you?
I'm probably in the 200 range, but that includes my, I have two phone lines, I have high-speed internet, and the television all on the same service.
Okay.
It does not include my Netflix, though. Yeah. That's another, $8 a month.
Yeah, Netflix is great. Yeah. I love Netflix. So, Andrew, that's Foxtel Go. Thanks to your mum. She's a legend.
She's hooked us up to so that we can do a bit of a review.
Yep.
And, having a look at it, quite impressed so far with their first version, and I think it will get even better as they go. But good stuff, Foxtel.
Good stuff, yes, I agree, and I hope they add more channels soon. Jacob, let's go to the news. You got some news today, mate. Go ahead, and we'll talk about it at the end. Go ahead.
All right. The first one we got is keyless remote entry for cars may have been cracked.
Ooh.
Yeah, it apparently says right here, a hacker apparently got the code. They tried it on an expensive car, like a Chrysler or something like that. But it didn't work. But they tried it on an SUV. It popped right open.
That's interesting, Jacob, because I saw on the news recently they were showing these people who were walking along a parking lot, and they were on the passenger side of a vehicle. It worked for Lexus, and I think there was another vehicle that they were able to just get into the car. It almost looked like they had the remote control for the car. And report that I saw, the police department was asking for anyone with any clues on how this thing operates to come forward, because they're trying to reverse engineer it, or try to figure out how that this supposedly uncrackable code is actually apparently cracked.
But it's all about, I guess, some form of algorithm. With a physical key, you have to have a physical item to get into a car. With, you know, your beeper or whatever, if someone who works at the company gets fired decides to take that little piece of code with them, I think there's too much potential for human intervention. It's scary, isn't it? Like if you can go out there and click a button in a car park and half a dozen cars out of 50 open, wow.
That's an excellent point. You know, it's right before we used to have these manual keys, and that was the only way in. But you're right. If there's an angry employee, a bitter employee, they can easily, or even someone who's working there at the time, you know, get that information and sell it to someone. And so it is quite risky.
Very high-end professional car rackets, you know, that would buy that for good coin.
Well, and locally, what they're telling people to do, I know I keep my registration and my insurance card in the glove compartment. They're saying take that stuff out of your car. Do not keep anything in the car, your garage door opener, because if people can get into the cars very easily, which apparently they can, that makes you very, very vulnerable.
I've heard that before, too, with a garage door opener. I mean, it's easy to get into a car than a house, and you know, it gives them access to your house.
Yeah, it does. And how many people leave that door unlocked in the garage, right, just to come right into your house? Mm-hmm. I think the majority of people do. My parents don't. They're the only ones I know that don't. They actually have it closed and have the alarm on, and they lock everything. So I need to be better like that.
And this is the exact reason I don't believe in those apps that, you know, you put on your front door and your iPhone will automatically open your front door for you. That, to me, does not make any sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Actually, I'm interested in some of the keyless entries they're coming out with now. Some that are, I think, on the markets, some not. But I don't know, after this news story, I'm afraid to put that on the front door. Somebody might, hack into it and get into my house. Supposedly,
yeah. It was always the original keyless entry, you know, a brick.
Yeah, that's it, Frank. That one's more subtle, though.
All right, Jacob, next story, go ahead.
Okay, next one. TSA decides against allowing small knives on aircrafts.
No.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were considering allowing it for a while, and then I guess they just decided against it, because I just seen a news story not too long ago saying they're considering, you know, doing this, but they changed their mind again.
What about tweezers? Can you bring tweezers on?
I've always wondered that.
In a pinch, you can.
In a pinch, you can.
Come back. I'll tweeze you to death.
You know, I take them out just to be, you know, I'll take everything like that out just because I'm paranoid that I'll have to, you know, throw everything away when I get there. So I'm not sure if tweezers are allowed.
Believe it or not, they found a little tiny, nail clip with a file on it, and mm-hmm. and I forgot even I had it in there, but they found it. They were good.
Oh, they let you keep it?
Okay. No, I had to get rid of it.
Oh, yes, you're rid of it.
There's some TSA agent out there with very nice nails right now. You know, they have a beautiful hair, beautiful nails. armed to the teeth with pockets.
Armed with tweezers. Yeah, right. But you know what's funny? After September 11th, all of the rules supposedly, I mean, like they really did change quite a bit. I was flying to the UK out of New York. I think it was LaGuardia. And I was checking in, and they took everything. They took your nail file. They took your tweezers. Like you know, to me, tweezers, right? Come back here. I'll tweeze you. You know what I mean? Really. So we get on the plane, and they bring out the food service, and what do? They give you metal utensils. I mean, really?
Wow.
Go figure.
That's great.
I know.
That is insane.
All right, Jacob, move on. Let's go to the next story.
Chopsticks.
So deadly as well.
It is. Jacob, what's the next story? Go ahead.
Google Glass should be banned for privacy reasons. One in five UK residents per new survey.
All right, Andrew, what's your view on that, mate?
My view is two things. Firstly, that doesn't surprise me one bit. 20% of people, if anything, that's quite low. And secondly, it's at least good that people in the UK, Australia, and outside the US are starting to talk about Google Glass and the technology and wearables and things like that. I've noticed that in my own news lately, there's been a whole lot more talk about Glass, and people I can now talk to friends and so forth about it, and they've got some understanding, whereas only a couple of months ago, there was none of that, and I've been, you know, looking at it for the last year and a half or so. So, to me, 20%, that's not a shock. It's neither here nor there.
All right, what about you, Jody?
I think those are the 20% that cannot afford them.
Yes, I agree.
Just ban them, damn it.
And I've had people go to me, wow, they're $1,500, that's so expensive. It's like, don't they understand the idea of hopefully when they come out, it will be a much more, you know, reasonable sort of price. Mm.
Well, we spoke to Alan Furstenberg on Thursday. He said they would be around 500 or something like that. Is that correct, Jacob? Is that what he said? Or?
Still quite high.
It is. Jacob, yeah. is that what he said? Or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Steve, what's your view on that story that Jacob spoke about?
I have heard some privacy issues as far as people are afraid they're going to, you know, get an awkward situation or whatever, like be somewhere and these people walk in with these Google Glasses and they're afraid they're going to take video of them or something like that.
Yeah.
Just be on the subway or whatever, so.
Yeah, they have a name for that.
What?
They call them glass holes.
Yes. Or a mobile.
They do.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe. Actually, don't call them the other one.
Okay, shut up, Jacob. Okay, Frank, what's your view on that?
I just want to know, can you wear them on airplanes?
Yeah.
TSA going to take it away from you. But no, really, I mean, I think privacy is a lot of times an option. Are you really private in a restaurant anyway with someone waving their phone around, taking video, taking pictures? It's really, you know, part of the pun of the eye of the beholder, I suppose.
Mm. All right, Jennifer, what's your view on that?
I think everyone is overreacting, and I think that they don't fully understand Google Glass. And that's why they're scared.
Okay.
If they really understood when their people are using it, it's going, you know, you can tell when someone's recording and it's not, yeah, people are just basically overreacting. They don't understand and they need to get over it, in my opinion.
Yep.
So I think that they're stifling innovation if they do not want this to go forward. I mean, we need to embrace innovation, embrace this stuff and yeah, so.
There'll be certain environments where they're not appropriate. For example, in a high security government facility, you can't even take a cell phone in where you can record things. So I think that there will be situations where they're just totally not appropriate, and they also will not be permitted. But I agree with you, Jen, about, you know, general use, except in bathrooms.
Yeah. there's a lot of white noise coming from someone.
That.
What's that noise coming from, Steve? What's that noise? I hear a lot of noise, some sort of noise.
Oh, is that you, Jacob?
No.
Yeah, just mute if you're not talking. Jacob, next story.
Okay, Snapchat launches.
Yay.
5.0.
There you go, Jacob. What do you think you updated?
with revamped UI, swipe navigation, and in-app app profiles.
Sweet. Jacob, what's your view on that?
I like the new layout and stuff like that. It actually works a lot better.
Oh, shit, yeah. You use it on the iPad, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Andrew, you used Snapchat for a little bit, then you got sick of it.
I downloaded it simply because it's such a big app, and obviously at the moment particularly I'm looking at as many different apps to get my head around UI and UX and what people use and like, and Snapchat has me absolutely baffled. The version, which just before this release... Let's be honest, it was absolutely nasty. It's horrible to use. It looks ugly. It's ridiculous. And somehow they've got however many hundreds of millions of users. So it's as an app, it has me absolutely baffled. The new version sounds like they've done some really cool things. My question, I guess it's not really a question, but I wonder if they had have released this version first, whether they'd be as successful as they are now, or whether they're successful because their first version was just so damn simple and bare bones, and that's what helps to create that sort of viral, you know, social correlation. So,
All right. I like it. I use it every day. Nearly, Jacob, you use it? Steve, do you use it?
Yeah, we both use it.
Yeah, okay. You don't use it, Steve?
No, I'll tell you the truth. I never heard of it before. Is that fairly new, or what does it do?
Well, what it does is you just take a random photo, or you can draw it and then send a photo, then send it to someone. That's all you do.
But it's got a time bomb in it. Yeah. So once you send it to someone, after 3, 5, or 10 seconds, it expires. So effectively, the photo, you receive it, countdown, and it disappears, gone. So there's been a lot of talk in the past, because there's a lot of young people and teenagers using it, that there's a lot of sexting going on, sending photos of, you know, inappropriate body parts that expire.
Okay. Joni, what's your view on that?
I think it's a redundant program. I don't find personally any use for it. I do know that my daughter uses it and her friends use it. So it does appear to be very popular with the college kids, but not my cup of tea.
All right. Good answer. Jennifer, do you use it?
Yeah, you know I use it. I use it. I do like the new interface. I like the fact that I can just double tap to reply now. Mm-hmm. I think it does look a lot prettier than it did before. I also like the fact that you can save your images that you are snapping of yourself, whereas before, if you took a Snapchat of yourself and, you know, after that it's gone, but you can save that now, which is nice. And just to touch on what you said, Andrew, it is interesting because before the app just did not look pretty at all, right? The UI was... Was, you know, and then I thought, well, look at Craigslist. Actually, no, you guys don't have Craigslist in Australia.
No, but I have been on it and used it, and it's just the most simple, bare bones platform.
Yeah. And, so I just kind of thought, and that took off, you know. So I guess sometimes, I don't know, it's just this weird how some items will just go viral like that, and it's what causes that to happen? I don't know. It'd be, if you can find that formula, then I guess we'd all, you know,
bottle it and sell it.
That'd be wonderful,
right? I really do. I think it's the hype. I think you get somebody like a Robert Scoble who says, "Hey, I'm using this and it's great," and then, you know, like 97 gazillion people who are, you know, followers jump on board with whatever the heck it is. Doesn't matter, you know, if certain influencers say that they like something, there are people who just have to try it, you know?
But yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, that's how most of us try something new, don't we? I mean, who here has ever jumped on the App Store and just gone, I think I'm going to download something random? Most things we probably download, 4 out of 5 even, are because a friend or someone, or we read, or somebody wrote, or Robert Scoble, or somebody has put something up on their wall. So, as you said, it's all about influences.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I think most of the apps that I've got on my phone are from Robert Scoble, and on my iPad, he's pumped out a lot of great apps and recommendations. They're really good. Frank, do you use Snapchat?
No, you know, I never had. The closest I got is just taking pictures and quickly deleting them. Actually, I really haven't seen much use for it personally.
All right, that's fair enough. All right, Jacob, next story.
Here's the meat of the podcast.
All right, go ahead.
Drum roll.
The NSA is fueling your internet life from Silicon Valley to Obama's desk.
All right, JD, go ahead. What's your view on that? I know you got to...
Well, actually, it was funneling. And there's been a lot of hype this week about what's happening with this PRISM. Information that is being gathered from all of the different cell phone companies, from potentially from Google, from Facebook, from the information is being gathered and ostensibly being evaluated for security purposes. And there's been a lot of hoopla, a lot of concern. All of the big guys, Facebook, Google, have issued comments saying that they're not supplying information. I don't think that there is an expectation on the part of most people of having full privacy. However, I think there is to some extent, an expectation that some things are not necessarily shared. And maybe that's unrealistic. I'm curious what everybody else thinks. If there is an expectation that some things perhaps are private.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I think it's one of those things where realistically, if somebody asked you in a closed room whether this was happening, you'd have to say yes. I mean, there's so much information flow. The US government effectively have a mandate to take whatever they want as they want. So the surprise is that this report, this article, these slides have actually come to surface and just how damning they are. And this has been happening since 2007. So it's quite an interesting situation. I don't have a problem with it, but it comes down to information management. I think in some ways it's wrong, but I understand that the ends sometimes justify the means, particularly if we can, potentially learn about, a 9/11 before it happens, and how many actual terrorist attacks have been thwarted because of this access to information, we'll never know. But one thing that I do have a problem with is, who was it now? Was it Apple or Google? One of the big companies, I think it was Google actually, came out and said very specifically that they do not have an open channel for the US government to access any of their servers' information or content, which is obviously contrary to the reality that we now actually know. Realistically, they probably should have come out and said, we will work with agencies as required, when required. So the way that they've actually worded this, and this was only, I think, a year or so ago, is really damning because it's absolutely incorrect. So I think there's a few things there where saying nothing is better than saying something that's wrong. But just to finish up, Robert Scoble actually put up on his Facebook wall that for him, PRISM, his most recently declared religion is Muslim, and that was so that he could marry his wife in true Iranian tradition. And they also call Iran a lot, and he has been known to search in Google for bomb-making tips and things like this, particularly because of curiosity from what happened with the Boston bombers. And he does a number of hangouts with people, Cuban citizens. He had lunch with the president of Israel. So he's sort of saying, look, he believes himself to be quite a safe candidate, but how does this information actually add up, and what does it come to? Because theoretically, that number of flags that I just called should actually bring something up on him. Even though he's a safe candidate, there's enough things there, enough red flags, that he should potentially be somebody who will have a file. So there you go.
But is he a safe candidate? I mean, we're assuming
that's a good question.
That he is what he says he is. But it's interesting because they are actually, not only are they taking cell phone information. So like you said, it's like the who you're calling, the duration of the call, where you're calling from, where you're calling to. So not only is that one big flaw, but then there's also some previously undisclosed classified government, it's a program that works with 9 very major U.S. internet companies to secretly scrape your online life. And they've created these reports that they're constantly giving to President Obama. He gets a daily intelligence report. And I guess what I'm concerned about is the balance of power. So you have somebody who is getting this information. How do you balance that with a political organization where other people should have a chance to also run for office? But if you have all of that information, doesn't that make you incredibly powerful?
It sure does.
It's scary.
It's like in The Godfather, absolute power can bring absolute corruption. But the thing that I don't think has been said to date, which is the one that most concerns me out of all of this, is if they've been monitoring all of these channels, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, and they've been doing this for a number of years, what information have they collected and how has it helped them? Just as I briefly touched on before, has it actually helped them thwart terrorist attacks that we wake up every morning, have our Rice Krispies and have no idea overnight what's potentially happened? But what I'm getting at is, will these people now actually go with different channels? Will they now use a really low-end startup video platform, you know, even like my own, because they know that that's probably not going to be monitored? And does that mean that with this revelation of what's happened, that the information that we otherwise would have got from monitoring Skype, we will no longer have, because they're going to be using other platforms knowing that these platforms are now being monitored? So, you know, are we going to miss something now because of this?
I think most people are mostly worried about if it's going to be abused. I could see, supposedly the way it's used now, it's primarily used to see the collecting data to see patterns for particular terrorists do certain things a certain way. So they're looking for these patterns. But of course, going back to what I said before, that they're, people are worried that initially they could use this data against the general public, even if they didn't do anything wrong or even supposedly suspected of being a terrorist or a criminal in general. So,
all right. Mm-hmm. Jacob, you get a view on that story. What's your view on that? Jacob?
I keep falling out.
Oh, my God. Why do you bother sometimes? Frank, give a view on that.
Well, I mean, I go back to something that happened somewhat recently. I guess it was maybe late last year. President Obama was traveling to Charlotte, and some nut job sort of just going to town on his Twitter account, posting these incredibly detailed threats about how the motorcade would never make it to where he was going to speak. And sure enough, this guy was descended upon by all sorts of law enforcement, but just, you know, within the hour. And I believe he was just recently sentenced. But I think what it comes down to, if they're looking for information, they're going to find it regardless of what platform people are using. They go to a more low-key one. It's just a matter of time until people find that as well.
Yep. Jennifer, do you have a view on that?
Yeah, I actually agree entirely with Frank. And, you know, Andrew, when you were mentioning that perhaps using a different platform would be more advantageous because that wouldn't be monitored, I'm thinking anything over the internet is monitored. And, yeah, everything that we do, any type of electrical communication is monitored. And, it's to me, it's what are they doing with this information? Well, it's good when they use it in the situation that they did here with President Obama that you mentioned, Frank, in your story, for crime reasons. But what else? I'm wondering, I do believe in some conspiracy theories. And so I just don't even want to let my mind wander. Let me just put it that way. So,
all right. I'd just like to say hello to President Obama.
Because they're obviously listening.
Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think we've set off enough flags for this
hello,
to be on
there. Arnold, how are you, mate? Good to have you on the show. Arnold Schwarzenegger, how are you?
It's good. Doing fine. How are you?
You were just in Australia not long ago, weren't you?
Yes, promoting an old movie of mine, Last Stand, now out on Blu-ray.
All right.
And I'd awesome. Like to thank President Obama for listening.
And the NSA.
And the NSA. Yeah.
All right, Jacob, any more news stories, mate?
Yeah, we got three more.
Oh, shit. Okay, keep going.
That's on the show there, Brad.
Come on, keep going, mate. Come on, we got a time limit here. Come on.
Speed news.
Go ahead.
Porn is now banned on Google Glass.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Well, there go all those sales.
Yep.
That's good.
You got a view on that, Jody or Jennifer or anyone else?
I do.
Go ahead.
I'm sure everyone has a view on it. Well, I remember, actually, I was listening to This Week in Google, and they were talking about, Gina Trapani actually mentioned something like, I could see perhaps them having some first-person porn apps, right? And someone did create this, and Google quickly shut it down. And I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. We don't need that kind of stuff on there. They're launching this awesome product, and the last thing we need is smut. So I'm saying, yay, Google.
The same thing happened on Vine. And they shut that down pretty quick.
I'm going to take the opposite stance just for the devil's advocate. I think if it's in private, so if it's something that's private one-to-one, you to them, or viewing or whatever, so it's you watching something or but not actually publicly, like broadcasting and things like that, I actually think it's okay. I think if that's what you want to do, then that's your right, that's your freedom to do so, as long as, I said, it's a private channel. And I also think right now they're really trying to get Google Glass out there. They're doing everything they can. There's this whole glass hole thing, and there's people saying, you know, that they shouldn't be there. If you go back as far as the Beta versus VHS, Beta was a better product. VHS won the war because the porn industry chose to work with VHS. If you go to Blu-ray versus HD DVD, Blu-ray won the war because porn went with them. I actually think they can get a lot of points up to trying to get Google Glass out to market by going with the porn industry. And if it's in a closed network and it's not broadcasting and so forth, then, you know, for consenting adults, is it such a bad thing?
All right, JD, what's your view on that?
That's an interesting aspect. I don't know how you're going to actually be able to block it. You know, I mean, it just seems to find its way into everything.
That's something I read during the week. Exactly, Jody. Someone said it will be there. You can't block it. It's going to happen.
Exactly. What about you, Steve? What's your view on that?
I kind of like Andrew's twist on it. That was kind of interesting. It kind of goes with, you know, like the NSA watching you. You know, how do they know that what you're doing? And, you know, unless you publicly broadcast it somehow through the Google Glass or for a beta testing, I think it's a bit too much.
All right.
Yeah, but eventually it's going to happen somehow.
All right, Steve. Frank, what's your view on that?
Well, you know, if you need proof of evolution, look no further than the porn industry. Just to put on my Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park glasses for a second, Porto will find a way. I mean, like Jody was saying, it'll find its way on there.
Yep.
You know, you can try and block it, but people are going to do what they want to do.
Exactly. Jacob, you have a view on that story? Where is that bad noise coming from?
Jacob, I don't know.
I don't know.
I hear it too now.
I don't know what it is. Jacob, what's your view on that story?
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you don't read. Okay. All right, any more stories, Jacob?
Just two small ones.
All right, go ahead. Just read them real quick. Or read them if you want to. Just go.
Google's awesome native keyboard is now an Android app.
Sweet.
Yay.
Good one. Jody, you don't use Android?
Nope.
Okay, I don't use Android either. Andrew, do you use Android?
No, I don't actually.
Okay, Steve, do you use Android?
No. There was something off the hand, at the top of my head, I can't think of it. Supposedly they came out with something that was far, I thought it was more interesting than the native keyboards, but now I can't remember what it is. But
well,
they recently come out.
Okay, let's move on because I just got a message from Jennifer. Frank needs to go. So Jacob, last story, read quick, please.
Thunderbolt 2 will be in products later this year.
All right, well done. Great news stories. Jody, do you have your story? If you want to be real quick.
No, I'd like to hear more about the podcast that Jen and Frank are doing. Actually.
Nice segue.
That's great. That's funny. All right, go
Brevity
ahead.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Go ahead, Jennifer and Frank. Tell us about your new podcast you guys are getting into.
Okay. Frank, do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, it's called The Ricky Gervais Show. And we have Stephen Burke. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That was the wrong one. It's actually... it's called Get Nerdy With It.
Get Nerdy With It,
and what we do is we interview people who do not mind being called nerds, to put it nicely. But no, it covers a breadth of topics, tech, science fiction, computers. What was the other one, Jen? Lookalikes, even?
We're getting this woman, her name is Robin, and she has a business where she books lookalikes.
Oh, wow.
And it's like these people look exactly like these celebrities. It's amazing. It's these photos. So I was talking with her and I was like, wow, we got to get you on the show. So she's going to be on. Next week, we're going to have a music journalist on. He's a music photographer and journalist. So his name is Xander DCO, and takes a lot of shots of, like, just whiskey. Amazing of whiskey. Is that what you said? Shots of whiskey. shots of bands and musicians and, like, just, like, Rolling Stone type images, you know. So, nice. So he'll be on the next show. And we just got done talking with Noble Ackerson, and we talked a lot about Google Glass, and that was on the show that we did yesterday. So,
cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. And you're going to be on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be on, and we're going to be taking over the whole show, just so you know. Who else did you have on?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, you know, I remember back growing up, the term nerd was about one of the worst things you could call people, was reserved for those Carradine Revenge of the Nerds movies.
Yep.
But now it's, you know, seen as a compliment. It's seen as not necessarily a trend, but yeah, exactly. I mean, like a hobby, like some people aspire to, some people enjoy. They're not ashamed to be a nerd as it is.
And I love the intro, by the way, guys. Great intro and outro. I love it. Who made that?
Oh, thanks. A friend of ours, his name is John Carter, and he actually goes by johncartervoiceovers.com.
Cool.
And yeah, nice guy, very professional, and we really lucked out with him working with us on that. So.
Good job. Okay.
Shout out to John.
Yeah, shout out to John. Good job, John. Andrew, questions?
I think it's great. I think that you'll get a really good range of guests on the show. I mean, for me personally, I know this is really, really weird, but I don't like being called a nerd, but a geek I take compliments in. So if I ever come on the show, I'm going to have the whole thing called Get Geeky With It.
Just
for my episode.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
I will have to have you on, Andrew. I'd love to have you on talking about Zarfo whenever you want to come on. Yeah.
Why don't I come on when we release our app
and
so forth in sort of sometime in August, maybe. That'd be fun. That'd be great.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
And we'll get Geeky With It for you. Yeah.
You
a different intro.
I'll change the logo and get John to redo. Yeah, exactly.
Get nerdy with Zarfo. Steve, any questions?
Yeah, I just want to mention what he said earlier about, you know, I know in the 80s, the nerd geek thing wasn't a good, you know, of course, now with technology everywhere, it's a good thing because then they come to you to, you know, get their stuff fixed, I guess.
Yeah.
How it is.
All right.
It is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jacob, any questions? So we're just going to be real quick on this. Jacob, any questions?
Well, I could say you guys do a great show.
Oh, thank you.
Is that all you have to say?
Yeah.
I
see you're
I'm
on
fine
iTunes.
With it.
Great show. Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show, Jennifer and Frank. Who else have you had on the show besides? You've done episode 1 and 2. Well,
yeah.
Throwboy.
We had Throwboy on. So we had Roberto Hoyos from Throwboy. He was our first guest on the show.
Great stuff.
And yeah, great stuff. Throwboy.com. Check it out.
Yeah,
awesome,
cool.
Awesome pillows.
Yep.
And then we had Vincent from Vintuitive.com. And then we just, our third guest actually had to cancel due to an emergency. So we're rescheduling him. So then we just had our actual third show yesterday.
Nice.
So we're still fresh out of the gate. And that was with Noble Ackerson.
Cool. And when we get Jody on your show?
Jody, definitely. Everybody. Everyone here. You all, Steve, Jody, Andrew. All you guys. And of course, Jacob and Brad.
We're actually recording this right now just to save time.
You're just gonna welcome to Get Nerdy With It.
We're gonna make you
Get Nerdy With It.
In there.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a good name. I love the name. It's a great name. You're on Twitter as well. We've Get Nerdy With It. That's a username, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice. We're on Twitter with Get Nerdy _ With It. Someone else grabbed Get Nerdy With It and doesn't use it. So
damn you, person.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You can actually email Twitter and get them to give that to you if you can prove that you're going to use it properly.
I actually will.
Oh.
Yeah, I did that with Zarfo. Somebody actually took that and I showed that I was using it and they weren't using it and it took me 24 hours to get the name.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great tip. Thank
That's
you, right, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that.
There you go.
Did that cost you money? Did that cost you money, mate, or was it for free?
It was for free, and they were really good. I got personal emails from a couple of people, and even after they finished, they emailed me to make sure I was happy with their process. It was really good.
So what were they doing with it? With it?
Someone registered it like 4 years ago, put up 2 tweets, and had 1 follower, and it hadn't been active since. and they accepted that I had a brand and I was using it.
Wow.
And they gave it to me overnight, basically.
And what was that? What were they doing with the brand name? Were they doing
it? Oh, it was just a fun person. An end user who sort of thought, oh, I'll type this in. That's cool. And look, if they were using it and it was their account, then I would absolutely accept that it's probably theirs, you know, too bad. But it was sitting there.
Okay, that's good. Okay, good.
So where can we watch Get Nerdy With It, guys?
Yeah, where can we watch this?
Where can we listen to it?
You can watch it, or actually listen to it, rather, I'm sorry, at getnerdywithit.com, and we also are on iTunes. We're also on Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter, so and SoundCloud as well.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, and everywhere on the net.
What sort of equipment do you guys use to record the podcast? That sort of good stuff.
We're kind of low key. We don't have any really expensive equipment. We're using Audio Hijack Pro and Skype and a blue microphone. And nice. Frank has a what mic are you using, Frank?
A Logitech mic.
A Logitech mic, right. and a Mac.
Oh yeah, Mac so is great. Mac's great. What mic are you using, Jennifer?
The mic I'm using is the Blue Snowball.
Okay, we need to get Andrew one of them for his when he's on the podcast.
That sounds good from this end.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
Oh, great. Good.
How much are they to buy, do you know?
I don't recall, but it wasn't too expensive. I think it was maybe like 70, yeah, 60, right. 60, 70 something.
Okay, well, like that. What place did you get it from? Amazon or?
Amazon, yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll have to get one of them from there then. Jody, any questions?
Yeah. First of all, I'm glad to see that you guys are very serious about this. There's no laughter whatsoever, and all the topics that you're doing are very, very serious. But besides that, I know, right? Your brother and sister, I'm not sure that everybody recognizes that. And what is it like to do a show with your family member? Do you guys, like, afterwards, do you beat each other up or, you know?
No, I'm bigger than her now.
Oh, I thought you guys were awesome.
No, we're not married. Go ahead. No, it's okay.
What were you going to say, Steve?
I thought you guys were married or something. But I'm sorry.
That's not legal.
Maybe in Alabama.
I am the older sibling, and I teased Frankie immersively when he was a child. So, but no, on the show, I do see. I call them Frankie. Okay, that's what happens. I call him Frankie, and I call him Frankie
and
on the show
several times. Jennifer,
tonight I have tried not to. I can't help it. That's his name,
Frankie. Wait, how do you feel about that, Frankie?
Oh, I don't know, Jody. See, it doesn't work with you.
No, it doesn't.
I'm used to it, you know. I mean, that's just one of those things. I'm not going to repeat what I call her over the air, though. But
but Frank, seriously, I mean, you know, it's a leap of faith to do something with a family member. Do you find at times it's frustrating? Do you sometimes want to strangle your sister?
Well, you know, related to the podcast or not related to the podcast? Oh, nah, it's not. You know, she and I get along well. It's, you know, it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Now that we're adults, we get along well. So.
That's good. That's good. And Jennifer, what other podcasts have you done previously?
We did, and I say we, it was actually with Christopher Rizzo. We were doing App Vice, and I put that on hold to focus on Get Nerdy With It.
Okay.
Because it's kind of hard. It was you do two shows so well, but for me, it was a little bit challenging to do both shows at the same time. So I put that on hold, and I might come back to that, but that is appvice.net. And then we also used to do Total iPad with Christopher Rizzo. And he actually shut that site down and is diverting all of his traffic to Crizzo.net.
So what's he doing on that now? Is it just Android stuff or?
It's Android, Apple, it's everything tech, everything geeky, everything.
Well, hang on. Has he gone from Android to Apple, has he, or something? Has he gone into Android now?
Yeah, he's kind of an Android guy now. He still loves Apple, but he is using Android a lot.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, shout Frank, out to Christopher Rizzo.
Yeah, shout out to Chris. Well, Frank, you have to go, mate.
Yes, I do. Yes,
all right,
I
mate.
Do.
Just before you go, Frank, you guys were talking before about celebrity lookalikes and impersonators and so forth. Is there a bit of Seth Rogen in you there, Frank?
Yeah, that's not the first time someone's mentioned that to me. But no, I keep my hair a bit longer than his. I do wear glasses, but I do appreciate his films.
That's a compliment. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I was going to say Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I agree. Schwarzenegger. Yeah, he does a great voice for that. Schwarzenegger, yeah. All right, Jacob, any more questions to Frank before he goes?
No.
All right. Frank, thanks for coming on, mate. Appreciate your time. Andrew, do you want to say goodbye to him?
Brad, Andrew, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. It was a really good time.
And Frank, I got to just say, Frank, happy birthday. His birthday, and we're having a big birthday party for him tomorrow. So, yeah.
You know what happens when someone comes on the show and it's their birthday, don't you?
Oh, that's right, the song.
Oh, the song, yeah.
Birthday. Thanks, Jen.
You're well. But he has to go review a movie. He actually is the editor and movie reviewer for the Mountain Times in Boone. So he's going to go review a movie now. So have fun.
Thanks, Frank.
Indeed. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Nice talking to you. Hope to see you again.
Yep. Thanks, mate. Come back down the pod. You're on your show.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, Jacob. We spoke to Alan. Tell him about what happened with Alan the other day, mate. I want to mention this before you go. Jacob?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, were you talking to Alan about his Google glasses and how they look, how they work?
Yep.
What functions they can take and use?
Very clean menu, wasn't it?
Yes.
And very easy to use and looks great. And it was a great interview with Alan.
Was this on Tech Luster?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Steve. And it was a great interview with Alan. And Andrew, have you seen the episode yet?
I haven't actually. I've had a pretty busy week, so I usually try and catch up on Luster on the weekend. So,
all right,
nice.
Is that diplomatic enough?
Yeah. What about you, Jody?
Yes. No, you guys do a great job, and I think it's wonderful that you're focused on glass. It seems to be very topical.
It is,
and a lot of people are interested in it.
Yep, I agree. What about you, Steve? Are you going to buy any glass before you go? Or?
No, I've got my own. That I got from Walmart. So
nice.
The way, a lot cheaper.
Nice. Yep. So, Jennifer, with your podcast, it's been around for how long? About a month now, is it? Or
it's been around for a month exactly. Yep.
All right. Good stuff. And you've been getting a lot of views and stuff on it.
Yeah, we've been getting some good views, and trying to get more. So I just have to be a little bit more active with the social networking and getting the word out. And thanks, by the way, for you all that reshare it. I do appreciate that.
No problem.
And that helps out a lot. And thank you for having me on the show and Frank, too, because this helps out a lot as well. So
that's great. Yeah, really people will check out this podcast and download your show every week, hopefully.
I hope so. Please do.
Please do. All right. Andrew, final thoughts and whatever you want to say before we go.
Final thoughts. Be good to your mother and those around you. You
really?
Can catch me at zafo.com/@Andrew, Twitter, Ari from Oz, and Facebook, Ari from Oz.
And me, I'm Brad Oz on Tech Webcast. Jacob, what do you want to say before you go? Anything?
That was a good show and great podcast. Yeah,
well done on the news, Jacob.
Yeah, good news, Jacob, by the way. Yeah,
good job, Jacob.
You should be in the news.
Thanks, Jacob.
You should be.
Virtual high five.
Yeah. Jody, final thoughts?
I think, well, first of all, good luck with the podcast, Jen. I think you and Frank have great personalities, and I know you're going to do an amazing, and we'll do our best to help get the word out for you. And,
thanks,
I think,
Jody.
Good show, guys.
Yeah, good show, I agree. Great
thanks,
show.
Jody.
Yep.
I can't.
What's Jacob?
Can I finish what I was saying before I got cut off by my internet?
Okay, yep, go ahead.
I was saying good show, Jennifer, good podcast. And you can follow me at jazzbot32669 1z.
And don't forget TechLuster.
Yes, at TechLuster at TechLuster.com.
You always forget about that show as well.
And the Hangout 10 Network.
Why is that part of TechLuster, isn't it?
Yes.
Good job, Steve. Jacob, Steve, final thoughts?
It was a great show today. Arnold Schwarzenegger and all. You can find me on... of course, my justin.tv/thenextcooldude channel. Of course, we catch the live stream of the Tech Webcast as well. And on Twitter, on chatterbox_live.
Yep, live. And good job, by the way, Steve, the other week with the live broadcast you did.
I don't know if anybody showed up. I didn't see anybody in the chat room. But
I watched it the other day. It was good. It was a good bit windy.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that's great. At least somebody watched.
Yeah, I watched it. It's good. Are you going to do some more of that, or are you going to do some more?
Possibly. Probably very specific broadcasts. I'm going to do the live versions. Probably mostly recorded, but okay. Certain ones it'll be live.
All right, and a shout out to Bev. Thanks, Bev, for setting up that thing for us. Appreciate that. You're a legend. Andrew, catching up with you on Wednesday, mate.
Yep, looking forward to it.
And that's about it. And Jacob, thanks for coming on.
And thank you.
Are you watching the footy, Andrew?
What's that? Oh, it's in the background, yeah.
I can hear it. Okay, thanks, Jacob, for coming on, mate. Appreciate it. Who are you on Tech Luster this week?
Audrey. Audrey Schuler.
Audrey. Is that Hoops Audrey?
Yeah. Yeah. She actually wants some stuff sent to her, too. We'll have to sort that out. Anyway, thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate it. Jody, thanks. You're a legend.
Thank you.
Steve, you're a legend. Andrew, you're a legend. And Jacob, you lost the game.
Hi, I'm Aussie Tech Head. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Head.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!